Hi, my name is Bridget Hardy, and these are Stories of Encounter.
Since early in her childhood growing up in Monterrey, Mexico, Cielo Topper has had a desire to teach and engage with others. She responded to the call with humility and began telling simple children's stories to help children in her community learn valuable life lessons. Cielo Topper has had many jobs, including mortgage lender, preschool teacher, Spanish translator, and even gave drama and Spanish lessons. She holds a bachelor's degree in business administration and is currently the administrative assistant for her husband's stamp collecting business and is a parishioner at Christ Redeemer Catholic Church in Houston.
Where were you born?
I was born in Monterrey, Mexico.
So when did you move to Houston or move into the United States?
I moved to the United States when I was 10 years old, and I was 10 years old when I moved to Houston, but I didn't stay here long. I actually attended Queen of Peace Catholic Church down on Telephone Road. However, my parents, there are some issues going on with them, so we moved. I had been in school for fifth grade for 3 months. I don't even think we made it 3 months, probably 2 months. And then we just sort of up and left. So all our school supplies, everything was left at that school. And so my memory here is Queen of Peace. That's my school. And they just recently celebrated the 75th anniversary of that school. So I got to meet with Father Michael Minifee. So it was good to see him. But anyway, I was here at 10 years old, and then we moved to Louisiana, and I was there for about 12 years. And then after 12 years, 13 years, that's when I met my fiance, Jonathan. And we went from there. He moved to Odessa, Texas, and my parents were moving to Georgia. So there was like, I was panicking. What do? I have no place to sleep, you know? So he sent me, since we were not married, he sent me to live with his mom in California. So we got married in Monterrey, California. I was born in Monterrey, Mexico. We were married in Monterrey, California, which is where he was from. And we were married at a beautiful church, one of the missions, the Carmel missions, St. Charles Borromeo. Anyway, so it was a beautiful wedding. It was a dream wedding. And the beautiful thing about that is the gift that I received in getting to be part of his family, even though he was nowhere around, I got to be, his mother's daughter, and his grandmother was my grandmother. I got to meet all his aunts and uncles, and literally I lived with his family for 3 months prior to our wedding. And so I think that was the biggest gift, is to be part of the family. Community, it was built before we were even a couple, you know. So that was kind of, I think, one of the gifts from God, to have community with your future husband's family before you even get to know him. So it was amazing. So to me, that was great.
That's awesome. And so when did y'all come to Houston?
We came to Houston when my daughter was 8 months old. So it's been 26 years we have been in Houston. Now, we came here because Shell Oil transferred my husband, and he promised me, look, we're just going to get a small house. And I didn't like our house because it's just kind of awkward. And he goes, it'll just be 2 years maximum, maybe three, but we don't have much time to hunt for this home. So of course we're now there 26 years. It's quite an accumulation of stuff and memories, but it is all good. And then of course we have the two children. So Marika was 8 months old, and then David was born right about 16 months after she was born. So it was one back to back. And we stayed busy. It was the perfect place to for our children to grow up, because they called it Tricycle City when we moved in. We were all young couples having children. So it is a wonderful place to have grown up with the kids.
And that's at Christ the Redeemer? Or?
No, we were at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton.
Okay.
We moved to Christ the Redeemer when our children were, it was ninth grade. So when they were starting their catechism more in the confirmation level, that's when we moved, right? Pre-confirmation. We felt that Christ the Redeemer had a more stronger program in terms of teaching the faith. So we moved here for that reason. And we stayed here ever since. We loved the we were here when the smaller church was the place. And so, of course, we liked the, I don't know, I've always liked small things. And lo and behold, now we have this beautiful, amazing church. But one of the things that happened here, one of my encounters, was one was with Father Sean, obviously, and the amazing pastor that he is, bringing people and making them feel welcome. But the second one was through my son when he was in eighth grade. He's always been a musician. He likes music, guitar, whatever. And he said, I will never know how good I am until I play in front of a live audience. So my husband overheard that, and I would tell my son, well, why don't you go and play at the church, you know, whatever. And my son overheard, my husband talked to Mr. Mark Doles, the contemporary choir director, and Mr. Mark Doles said, of course you can play with us, but your mom has to come. And in my mind, I thought, how does he know that I love music? I love music, but I've never had schooling in it. And that's how we started. That was one of my many encounters here at Christ the Redeemer. And it is through that opening, and, you know, he would always tell me, if you're going to sit here and wait for your son to finish choir practice, you need to be part of the practice. And lo and behold, little by little, I became schooled in you know, music and choir and reading music and singing, not singing as much as praising God. And I think that's another gift. You know, I've loved music since I was little. I used to, you know, spend my days doing riddles when my children were born. Not riddles, what do you call it? Like what a commercial? Jingles.
Oh, jingles.
Jingles. Not riddles, jingles. So in doing jingles throughout my life, when my children were born, I did a small song for each of them. Just, you know, it just sort of came natural. And so to be here and to be asked to just be part of choir, just to sit back while your child is really learning, it imbued me with an even greater desire to praise God and to really learn how to do it from the heart. Not just because I'm alone, so I can just sing quietly, you know, in the shower. No, you can belt it out. You can praise Him without fear. And I think that was another gift given to me through music and Mr. Mark. And, you know, he's an amazing fisher of men. One of the things he always does, confirmation classes, catechism. And I had been teaching catechism since I was 16 years old. I loved catechism. It was just something that I loved when I was a young girl, even as young as first grade. I remember another encounter that I had with Christ. Now I know what it was at the time, but at the time I just thought it was joy to talk about God. And at the end of our day in Mexico, where I grew up, we were told, you know, when you come home from school, you do your homework, you do the chores, you clean, blah, 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 and you can't go outside till everything is done. After the inspection, you may go outside. Well, it was so much to do that sometimes we got to go outside as late as 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. But, you know, it was okay because, you know, we're in Mexico. We take the siesta. Anyway, in doing that, I realized that the children would come. And these are unruly children. You know, we're just first graders. We're running and sweating. And they would come and they would say, please tell us a story. Please tell us a story. And they would sit and bang on my the gate that went into our house, which is really a super small house. It just had two bedrooms for five children, mom and dad, a little living room and a small kitchen. But to us, it was a great house. We thought it was so big. But at the end of the night, they would come and they would say, please tell us a story. And now looking back, I realize how I had a desire to teach. I had a desire to show to others that we could be good for God. Even though I didn't say that, I would say things like, if you go home tonight and your parents ask you to do something, you need to do it with joy. And also, because a lot of us, you know, we're poor. We don't have a lot of nicely dressed things, but we always have soap. And I would tell them, you know, be virtuous. I didn't use those words, but I would say, go home and wash your face. Go home and pray with your mom and dad. Go home and do, you know, be honest. Don't copy. Go to school early. Don't go late. And so I realize now there was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And yet I would go home and I was just like, oh, I'm scared of everything. But yet when I was asked to do something, if I knew it was for someone other than myself, then the Holy Spirit, I recognize now, took over. Mm. And in sharing stories, it was stories about the little dog, the little bird, you know, nature. And then I would always come in with a little virtue nugget or a little, let's grow in virtue, let's grow in holiness. I didn't call it that. It was just being a child, but being a child of God in doing things that were normal to our age, but doing it with joy, quietly, without calling attention to ourselves. And I look back and I see that was an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I didn't have to wait to be confirmed because I was confirmed at baptism. So yes, the Holy Spirit is always active in our lives. Half the time we don't even realize it's Him who's acting. We think it's us. And in reality, praise be to God that He can be so gentle, that He can lead us, you know, by the things and the gifts that He has given us that speak of Him, you know.
So, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Yeah.
So I wanted to be a teacher, but I never pursued that career for various reasons. You know, you name it, brokenness, you know, wasting time, you name it. It was all there. I'm all full of the negative stuff. However, I feel now looking back, the God reserved that gift of desire to teach for now, because now we have that divine mercy cenacle. And I always tell Father Sean, I cannot wait for you to find the leader because I don't know what I'm doing. But I feel like I have so many more children now. I only had two that were real, but now I have like 50 somewhat children that you feel inclined to pray for, to lead through prayer. Never by what our own things or our experiences, but always through prayer. And someone even told me, because that was a source of sadness for me, that I never was able to teach. My parents said, oh, you'll never make a good teacher. They don't pay you, blah, blah, blah. And praise God for that, because then what happens is I held on to that seed. And then the Lord nurtured it and nurtured it and nurtured it. And now it has blossomed to his glory, not to mine, because every Monday I go in and I'm nervous. I don't know if this is right. I don't know what I'm going to do. But yet, and I always say, Lord, this isn't even mine. This belongs to the Holy Spirit. So let Him teach us. And so we open up to His guidance, to His love, and to His pointing the way for us, because we each individually have a mission. And our job is to respond to it. But to respond to it, first of all, with humility. We cannot do God's will unless we sit back and say, Lord, is this really You? And if it is You, how do I do it? How do You want me to accomplish what You want to get done? Because I'm not worthy, number one. I'm not schooled, number two. And number three, how could I ever glorify You perfectly if it were not through Your grace? And so that's how we do the Divine Mercy Cenacle. We must always sow the seeds of prayer. Everything we do, we pray, sometimes for years. But isn't that the way our Blessed Mother did it? You know, our predecessors. You know, the goodness of our life today is because of our ancestors have continued to pray, you know. So, like I said, faith is, we talk about faith, but it's really in doing the faith that brings joy. In walking that mission, that gives us a sense of, I have purpose. I have purpose besides cooking and cleaning and loving my family. There's a purpose greater than all of us. And that is to bring God's love and shower and be merciful to others. And small things as well as great things. You know, guidance is a big one for me. Prayer. Everything has to stem from prayer. But efficacious prayer. Not the long, long prayers. But that prayer where you sit in His presence and to remember that God, the omniscient God who knows everything, the omnipresent God who is present everywhere in you, in me, in our neighbors, even in our enemies. Yet He's there waiting for me to come in and waiting to see my face, to hear my voice, to hear my heart. That is where I feel totally alive in the Eucharist. partaken of it in communion with him and my community here, which is really the world community, because Catholicism is world, it's worldwide. So it doesn't matter where I go, I feel at home as long as Christ is present, and he could be present in you. So peace be to this home, the home of our parish, the home of our hearts, the home of our souls. May there always be peace.
That's awesome. That's so beautiful.
Oh, Lord, he brings us through it all. He really does. I mean, for all of the joy that we feel, we know that there was a lot of crosses. And when we receive that cross, and sometimes it's hard. Crosses are not easy. They're very hard tests sometimes. But when we receive that cross and blindly say, Lord, I will walk with it through you. I can remember when I was 13 years old, the things that happened and how I would, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and you know, take care of my family in the midst of the turmoil that we were in. Not because I had to, not because I felt like, oh, I'm going to be the savior, but simply because there was this desire, this loving desire to love my family while they slept. You know, we didn't have a fan. We didn't have air conditioner. We lived in Louisiana and it was smoldering heat. And I would get up and I would sing to our Lord, Lord, bless my family. You know, in Spanish, of course, everything in Spanish. Now everything is in English. I hope I don't forget my Spanish. But it was beautiful. I think back at those moments where it is really the Holy Spirit that walks and talks through us. And it is in those moments that you don't forget. That's the stuff we take to heaven. That's the key to open heaven. As long as we walk, and we say this in our Divine Mercy Cenacle, mercy is truth in action. And I have little moments where I met God and walked with him and held his hand and held Mother Mary's hand and was able to pursue that which he wanted me to do. But in those moments, it really is our yielding to his movement. And it's a beautiful synchronization, like synchronized swimming. It's just beautiful when we move in the Spirit, when we move in his glorious ways, lovingly, quietly, not saying, hey, look at me, look what I've done, because it's never what we do. It's what he does through us. He's the shepherd. We are his little lambs. I always keep that picture that no matter how old I am, I'm still his child. I'm still his loving child. And I want to love him. I want to praise him. I want to sing to him all the time, not just in choir. I want to praise him. And even my daughter says, you're always singing Catholic music. And I'm just like, that's what's in my heart, you know? So a lot of times I wake up, Alexa, play Los Panchos, you know, something different. So anyway, life is good. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Life is good. We talk about God and joy just overflows. It's him that does it. It's not us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You're so eloquent too. Like when you talk, it just flows and you can tell it flows out from something very genuine within, you know?
Yeah. It's really the Lord. And now if you put me in front of like, okay, it's time to go to a meeting. Father Sean is there. So-and-so is there. Like, you know, Deacon so-and-so is there. And I'm just like, oh my God, what am I going to say? I literally have nothing to say. The very first time I met Dana Cardinal DiNardo, I was in line. I was next. I was like, Dana Cardinal DiNardo, Your Eminence, how good to see you. I don't know what to say. He goes, oh, well, that's your loss. And he ushered me away. But, you know, again, what a beautiful way to be humbled.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
What a beautiful moment of humility. So, yeah, we have all those blunders.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really me, the blunder in CLO. Anyway, but enough about me. Really, it is about God and how he leads us if we allow him to.
Yeah. Well, let me move this a little closer to me. Was that the experience that you wanted to share, or was there a different, or do you want to tell the full story of the experience you shared previously?
I think that was good. I mean, okay. You know, I think that's really two. The first one being that I met my calling, the true calling of being a teacher, through choir, through someone who looked at me and said, you need to be here and you need to participate. I think that was the second calling, because I had it all through my life. I've always wanted to be a teacher, but that affirmed me and called me by name. Through what he, you know, he just felt like, you know,
we don't want to waste this. Mm-hmm. If you're here, if you're breathing, you need to be giving back to the Lord. You take his oxygen, you give it back to him. And so I always thank God for that one person who saw me. I mean, I'm really, really a lost person. You know, I don't have what it takes to do what most people can do because of their intelligence and their wherewithal and their preparation. I don't have that. But I always tell Mr. Mark, Mr. Mark, you know me. I'm just going to sing like the mockingbirds. I don't have the schooling, but if I hear the melody, I will be right up there with you. And so he's been very gentle. He's been kind. And you know, he says, you know, just, you know, sit with someone who can help you along with, you know, singing independence and what have you. And so it's been a learning process. But God has been so amazing. So again, I credit the Lord for finding someone who called me by name mm-hmm. and said, you need to be here. And in the process of learning and being part of the choir, he also said, I need someone to help us at the retreats, you know, for confirmation students. And so I've been teaching confirmation for a while. For the past 3 years, I moved away from confirmation and have been teaching sacrament prep with Annette O'Driscoll and her team and Mark Doles and his wife. We also have Ron D'Amico and Roseanne Cook. So we're taking those children that for some reason didn't get catechized or missed a sacrament, and we're getting them ready so they can be streamlined back into where they should be. So I think that's the first one to where I can say, here I met Christ the Redeemer. I'm here, and I was called to truly participate in ministry, and that was catechism, music, and also divine mercy, actually becoming a leader, you know, until we get that other leader. I'm still waiting. Anybody out there? So, but yeah, I know now that it is in calling people forth that God will resurrect our sleepy bodies to become part of his will. And then once again, one of the things that I always talk about is the kingdom of God doesn't start anywhere but in your heart. And your heart is always at home where he is. So our home has to be the place where we begin this. Now, you know, when we have adult children, as I do and many of us do, a lot of the times, you know, they leave home and we're like, we want you to stay Catholic. And but again, they need to discover that, and they'll have that moment where they will be called forth to, again, minister in their own way, whether it's just being a family, being part of a community. Maybe they'll be called to leadership. Maybe they'll be called to be part of something, maybe not as leaders, but certainly to be part of a movement of grace. And that's what our prayer is, that they never leave the church, that they stay grounded. Because it is the church that brings about light in our world that can sometimes be sad. It is God's grace in us that gives us hope. And hope leads to love. And love leads to eternity. Because that's where God is. Wherever there's love, God is present. Mm-hmm. It sounds trite, but it is so very true.
That's awesome. Well, great. I think that we're in good shape. The last thing I wanted to just ask is your current profession, because I'll probably put that. I'll show you what I put together, and I'll show you the video, the clip that we end up using. But I'll put like a little short story, a little bit about you, and then kind of say this is what you do with Christ the Redeemer and your profession as well.
Well, my profession is whatever God calls me. I have a bachelor's degree in business administration. But I have been, I really do go where God calls me. I don't have, like, I'm not a dentist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a full-fledged teacher. I don't have my degree as a teacher. But my degree comes just from being what the Lord asked of me to do. So right now, I've been a catechism teacher, but in my profession, I have been a banker. I have been a mortgage lender. I've been, oh my gosh, you name it, I've done it. Jack of all trades, master of none. Right now, I'm helping my husband. He has his own business. He has a philately, or I should say, maybe an appraisal, a stamp appraisal business. And so I am there with him as an administrative assistant. And before that, previously to that, I was working at a music store And I helped, again, administrative assistant. I gave drama lessons. I gave kinder music lessons. So, yes, I will do what the Lord asked me to do. He's my number one professor. I am being very honest. But for now, I'm an administrative assistant with my husband's business.
That's awesome. I didn't know that you did drama stuff, and I was a theater minor. I had no idea. I've known you this long.
I didn't have the training, but when I was working at the school at Cypher Music and Arts, I went in and I took a part-time job as an administrative assistant in the office. And there was a time where one of our teachers was not able to be there. And so then I gave the classes for like 3/4 of a year.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like, learn it.
Yeah.
Do it. And I was just like, every day it was like so stressful. But even our beautiful Nancy Johnston, you know, said, you're a natural. I'm like, it's him, really. I'm just the instrument. I'm just a little rag that does it all. But then after that, I also had a Spanish immersion program that I did for her. It was a week-long program where we would take children from the age of 5 years old all the way to 12 years old. And I created a school within a school, and I transformed the drama room into a little Spanish hacienda. And I went around with all my friends. I need Spanish stuff. I need little guitarras. I need little, you know, and I mean, it was amazing. And so, again, the Lord will help us if we put our trust in Him. Be careful when you say that, because when you trust God, He will put you out there. the love of teaching does not stop. And I hope that at the end of my life, I can say, Lord, I taught everything I had with your grace. And I hope many will be brought to the knowledge of His love, to the knowledge of His persevering patience for us. And that people will be listening because our name has been called. Called to be active, participants in bringing about His love. So I'm telling you, I'm thinking, what else have I done? Waitressing, it goes on and on and on. But anyway, it's been a joy to live my life with our Lord. I'm sure people who live with me will say, oh, she's so annoying. But I do try. I do try not to be two up there. So anyway, it is what it is. But yeah, so my life story is very poor, very simple, but very joy-filled. Very joy-filled when I get to think about who God is and how He loves me and how He fills me with joy. Just the thought that He's waiting for me, I'm touched. And I'm filled with joy again. No matter what I've been through, no matter what I have to go through in my life, I'm touched that He's waiting for me. And that gives me hope and joy to do what He wants me to do. I mean, you know, whatever. I'm here for Him because I know He's there for me.
Thank you for listening to Stories of Encounter. For more stories like Cielo's, visit storiesofencounter.org.